In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no doubt that we are living in a tumultuous time. Individuals and groups of individuals perpetrate crimes and acts of terror and even war on each other with such alarming frequency that we have become desensitized to much of the reality of the gruesomeness of these sorts of acts of violence. Only when large numbers of children are involved are we outraged. A random shooting here, a misplaced bullet there, oh well, that's just the way it is. And if that isn't frightening enough, we have so abandoned our concern for our environment over the centuries that we find ourselves inundated with unusually frequent and unusually large storms that some refer to as acts of God. We ourselves may not believe that events such as Hurricane Katrina, the mega tornadoes of April 2010, earthquakes in Haiti, Superstorm Sandy, or the recent large and frequent tornadoes in Oklahoma are actually caused by God's displeasure with the people living in these diverse places. But we may find ourselves wondering if we are left alone. We may wonder if we've been abandoned. In times of turmoil and unease, or even worse, pain and suffering, it's so easy to feel abandoned and question God. We seem to want to live in a fairy tale world in which good things happen only to good people and bad things only happen to bad people, and we can anticipate living happily ever after. That seems to be in our shared DNA. We come by that line of thinking honestly, for sure. It's always been around. But pushed into a corner, we have to admit that people who live in trailers have done nothing inherently to justify the wrath of God. Trailers, we know, are just a little less substantial than homes made of wood or brick. The story of the three little pigs in the Big Bad Wolf should tell us that. Perhaps it's actually a good thing that we look to God in times of turmoil or times of uncertainty or pain or even despair. The very act of wondering where God is at these times indicates that we believe that God exists. If we did not believe in God, there would be no God to question. So then the question becomes about our faith. Do we trust God or do we not? Moreover, what is our God, the thing we value more than all else? Today we have a story about the prophet Elijah. Prophets are always exciting, and Elijah is one of the most exciting prophets of all, especially if you encounter Elijah in the words of Scripture and not face to face. Elijah was a wild man. Prophets tend to be a little wild, not the norm. Prophets were much more common in the time of 1 Kings. Being a prophet was a profession. I read something recently that claimed that there are many prophets in the world today. That may be true, but it's not a paid position anymore. If anything, prophets rank lowest on opinion polls. Folks just don't want to hear what a prophet has to say because prophets are sent to jar folks out of a false sense of security. No doubt there no longer exists a league of prophets. But when Elijah was dealing Ahab and Jezebel fits, prophets roamed the countryside in bands. Some were prophesying the word of the God of Israel, and some were prophesying on behalf of false gods like Baal, or maybe Enron, or Wall Street. And people wanting quick fixes and sure answers were confused. Which God do I want to give me peace? Which will actually give me security and prosperity? Which God will help me live happily ever after? Elijah knew people were struggling, that they were confused and unsure if it was better to invest in Baal or Yahweh. So he decided to have a showdown in the pasture. And some contest this was. For those of us who are very familiar with competition in the arena of football and other lesser sports, this was the Old Testament equivalent of the SEC championship. The coin was tossed, and Elijah won the toss, of course. The prophets of Baal were up first, and the challenge was this: could their God come down and start a fire? Actually, the question was, could Baal be engaged? But the ultimate question was, if Baal was real. Did this God actually exist, or was this all a hoax? Elijah sat back for quite a while as the prophets of Baal attempted to cajole their God. Hours went by, and the prophets of Baal became weary, so weary that all they could do was limp around the altar. Then they tried self-mutilation to gain their God's favor. Looking back, that may seem a bit extreme. What sort of God would want folks to hurt themselves to gain favor? But don't be too judgmental on the prophets of Baal, because through history, faithful Christians have done just the same thing. Used self-mutilation as an attempt to appease God. Baal never comes through for his prophets, and ultimately, they're killed. Yahweh, on the other hand, comes through in spades. Elijah has the people cover the altar with water, so much that it runs down and fills the trench that has been dug around the altar. Water is everywhere. And this is important because there's been a drought for 3 years. Elijah calls to God, and fire consumes the burnt offering. And not only the offering, but the wood, the stones, the dust, and even the water. This God is real and engaged. This is no false God. This God hears the prayer of his prophets and responds to the needs of the people. This God can be called upon and will answer. Why then, we ask, has all gone before have asked, do bad things continue to happen? Why was Elijah able to call God down to start a fire on an altar, and we seem unable to get God's attention to address the situation right here, right now? And I could offer up shallow platitudes about our lack of faith and our overarching interest in personal profit. Or I could, like others, claim that calamities still happen to bad folks, and that folks in Oklahoma or North Alabama have some deep-seated sin that perhaps even they are not aware of. That doesn't seem in keeping with the God we know through Jesus, the God who loves us beyond measure and who heals even those he doesn't know, those who are not the chosen ones. As we heard in our gospel reading today, a centurion, a high-ranking officer in the Roman army, sends some Jewish elders to ask Jesus for a favor on his behalf. His slave has fallen ill and is near death, and the centurion is concerned for his well-being. That in itself speaks volumes about the character of this high-ranking man. The Jews, too, attest to his character as a good person as well. He's built them a synagogue. He, though not a Jew, has helped them continue to worship God. Jesus then heals the slave. He doesn't offer any judgment about the reason the slave has fallen ill. He doesn't cast blame or say anything at all about the sinful nature of the slave that has caused his hardship. He heals him from afar. Jesus never equates personal responsibility or sinfulness to those he heals. He talks only about faith and trust in God. Remember when his disciples come to him with a man born blind and ask him whose fault it is that he was born blind? Was it his or his parents? Did they sin? And Jesus immediately discredits this false thesis. No one sinned that he was born blind. Things happen for known and unknown reasons. The question is, do we allow hardships and calamities to dampen our faith in the goodness of God, or do we trust God to be with us in our times of hardship and to hold our hearts and get us through? God does not cause hurricanes or tornadoes or avalanches or earthquakes in order to punish. Perhaps our misuse of the world that we've been entrusted with has had an effect on the changing weather patterns, or perhaps it has not. No matter what, there will be events in life that challenge our faith. False gods are still alive and well. Those things that draw us away from worshiping the true one God. False prophets are alive and well too. Those who would lead us down paths that do not lead to God. Discernment may be difficult. Knowing where God truly is may seem hard. God has not abandoned us, even though we may be unsure and doubt. Faith isn't shallow. It requires a great deal of trust in that which is beyond ourselves, that which is beyond our ability to control. The question is, in what do we trust? Do we trust in God as we say we do, or do we put our trust in false gods, the idols that we have created? If we have faith and we trust in God, we do not have all the answers or platitudes, but we know that we are not alone, that there is one beyond our understanding, one that is still with us, totally engaged when we question, when we are suffering, when we are in pain. We have a God who is available and who cares, who wants us to trust in his ability to get us through the difficulties of life, even those things that we think will tear us apart or do us in. God does not take those difficult times from us, but gives us strength and hope and courage to meet life's hardships, supported by his love. Amen.